Then we are going to the next presentation by Pieter van der Venet. He has been studying at Ghent University, and he is now working on OpenStreetMap, working for small companies about mobility planning and route planning services. So his talk is about maps, of course, about maps. And are you interested in maps? That's why you are here, I guess. So, well, you maybe need in need of geodata. Maybe you want a map on your site, or you are working on maps. And then Pieter is going to talk about this, how OpenStreetMap can help you on that, and how the community can help you with OpenStreetMap. So it's a very broad overview that Pieter is going to give, and how to get started with it. And I'm very eager to hear from that also. What you're going to talk about, because I'm very interested, as you probably know my daughter, who's also working on this. You know Nina? Miss Maps?
Hmm?
You know Miss Maps?
Yes.
Yes, that's my daughter.
Oh, cool.
So, and she's also working on maps, so I'm very interested to hear what you are going to tell mm-hmm. about this. A big applause for Pieter.
All right, so good afternoon, everyone. I've already been introduced, so I'm going to skip this. Today, I'd like to talk about OpenStreetMap, of course, and I'd like to give a high-level overview, like a starter package of all the things you need to know to find your way around OpenStreetMap and to use it effectively. So let's start at the beginning. What is OpenStreetMap? In the first place, it is a database. It's a plain old database, and in the database there are dots and there are lines. And all of those dots and all of those lines, they have some attributes. And these attributes tell what the dot or what the line does represent. So for example, I have a dot on there, and there's an attribute saying natural tree. That implies that there is a tree over there. And we can add other attributes, for example, the species, like an oak tree. And yeah, you can go basically nuts with all the attributes, so you can add as many attributes as you want, describing a whole heap of things. So it can become quite a rich database. And of course, we don't do that only for points, we do that also for lines. So for example, these are the attributes of a ring road near where I live. And then you see there's quite a bit of information in there, like it's highway secondary, so it's a secondary road. There are two lines, it's lit, you can drive 50 an hour. It's called Golden Vliesland. It's named after something on Wikipedia. It's made of asphalt, it has its own Wikipedia page. So lots and lots of data in there. Now, how does it get information into that database, and how is information used from that database? So there are many, many, many contributors in of OpenStreetMap. And I'm going to do a little experiment. Who in the room has already contributed data to OpenStreetMap? So, yeah, about one third of the room, all right. Thank you for your contributions. So the contributions get into the database, and then the database and the updates, they get distributed to a whole heap of map applications, such as the main website, or Osmond, or Overpass, or Pokemon Go, but more about those later. Now, there's data in the database. What kind of data is allowed in the database? There's quite a big freedom to add data. You can add pretty much whatever you want, as long as it's permanently there and it's verifiable. So a road is verifiable and it's permanently there. Something like YCAM 25, it can be verified, but it's not permanent, so we're not going to add something like events. And other things like plant works, or there might be a bridge in 10 years, it's also very hard to verify, so we don't add that. There's also a third important rule: if you add data, don't copy from copyrighted maps. So don't go copying Google Maps, because then we're going to have to remove the data again. And Yeah, you can add whatever you want. There are also plenty of tools to add data to OpenStreetMap. There is plenty of software. I checked 5 years ago again, and there were 28 active projects back then. I should recheck that. One of them is mapcomplete.org. It's what I make, so it has some more slides. And basically, that's a website, and in the meantime, also an Android app, which has many maps about specific topics. For example, public toilets in this case, or bicycle pumps. And if something is missing, like for example here, we don't know if these are free to use, you can select an option and it goes to OpenStreetMap directly. So that's one possible way to edit OpenStreetMap and to help out. If there is a point missing, you can also, with tapping once, quickly add a new point. And I also have some fun integrations with other services. A second application I'd like to highlight is Street Complete. It has a similar name, but it's a different application. This is an Android application. And when you want to go for a walk or something, you can open it up and it will show you a whole bunch of questions. And then you can tap something and it's a question like, what kind of building is this? What's the surface of this road? What are the opening hours of this shop? Do the stairs have a handrail? Stuff like that. It's very useful. I always say it's a bit like playing Pokemon Go, with the big difference that this is actually useful to do. So if you want to make a nice walk, this is a cool application. Another application that for many of you probably was the first editing experience, it's the ID editor. It's the editor on openstreetmap.org. That one is user-friendly, and you can use it to do most tasks. And I've secretly already shown that one to you. It's this one. And at last, there's also JOSM. JOSM is a power tool. It's somewhat harder to use, but it has a lot of capabilities, and you can do big edits with it, but I don't recommend that for beginners. All right, so what more is OpenStreetMap? It's also the freedom to reuse the data. You can reuse the data for free, for whatever purpose you want. There are, however, two requirements. You have to attribute OpenStreetMap. So if you put OpenStreetMap on your website, you have to put in the corner, like, data by OpenStreetMap. And if you reuse the data stays open. If you make changes to OpenStreetMap data, your changes will be published under the same license, and other people might reuse your data. So effectively, a copyleft license. Now, that copyleft license has proven quite successful because people could use it, and people have started using it for many, many tools and applications. There are too much to name them all, so I'm just gonna name some fun ones. So, of course, for starters, there's the website itself, which shows everything, roads, buildings, subway stations, train tracks, water, stuff like that. There are many navigation apps and road planning engines for OpenStreetMap. But there's more. There's like the cycle node networks. Cyclists are a big fan of OpenStreetMap because we can put in the cycle nodes and all the little shortcuts so we can have really great cycling application. I'm from Bruges. Is there someone who knows Bruges in Belgium? Yeah? What is Bruges very well known for? For the cobblestone, exactly. And I don't like to cycle over cobblestone, so one of the things that I did was I visited every street in Bruges and I marked which streets were what type of cobblestone. And then I hacked one of the road planning engines to avoid cobblestone. And afterwards, the road planning engine just said, go around the city. Another fun thing, people went skiing with OpenStreetMap. They added ski pistes and ski lifts. I also upgraded Osmond to have ski routing, so I can brag with that. People added heritage information. People went onto the sea with OpenStreetMap and added the buoys and the light signs and the all sea-related stuff. There is even a map out there which blinks in the patterns of that the lights actually blink, which is pretty cool. People have added infrastructure. So this is a map of the high voltage lines in Europe and some windmills, some wind generators in sea. So yes, the Russians love this. I was about to say it as well. I don't know how precise it is. So I think the actual lines might be some kilometers off, but the Russians love it. It has implications. Another fun project we did is we linked streets with Wikidata. And so many streets in OpenStreetMap have a link to Wikidata that says this street was named after that person. And if you make that link, you can make a map and you can query Wikidata and you can ask like, hey, this street over here, is it named after a man or is it named after a woman or after a transgender person? And then you can make statistics about how many of the streets are named after men and how many of the streets are named after women. And there's a huge imbalance there. In this case, about 80% of the streets in Ghent is named after men. It was a campaign a few years back, and because of that campaign, together with some feminist organizations, at least in Belgium, there's more awareness and many municipalities try to name more streets after women to close the gap. So another nice use case of OpenStreetMap is less developed places, for example, Africa, and especially Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, they use OpenStreetMap a lot, just like the Red Cross. And they do mapathons. We come together an evening, and then based on satellite imagery, we draw roads, we draw buildings, we draw villages into OpenStreetMap. And that's a very valuable tool for those aid organizations, because they can use it to plan. They can estimate where the people live, they can estimate for vaccination campaigns, how much vaccines they have to take, how to get there, and stuff like that. So that's also very useful. And one of the tools we use is Missing Maps, which is, we have an expert in the room on that. Another tool, probably a lot of you use this tool. Who uses Osmond? Yeah, quite a few fingers again about it. Earth. So this is an Android and iOS application for smartphones. It has a ton of features. I love it. I use it all the time. It's a bit clunky and many buttons, so you can get lost in all the menus. But it can do a lot of stuff, like road planning, Wikipedia, advanced search, and stuff like that. If you want a simpler application, which also works offline, you can use Organic Maps or GoMaps. There has been some drama, and it has been forked. This one works offline as well, and can do navigation and basic search. If you want a printed map, there is Map Osmetic. You go to the website, you select, oh, I want a printed map, this size, this background, this overlay, and then you get a PDF, and then with the PDF you go to a local copy shop and you can get a nice printed map. I've done it a few times. Another very well-known user of OpenStreetMap is Pokemon Go. Is there someone here in the room who plays Pokemon Go? A few hands. Pokemon Go uses OpenStreetMap both for the base map, so the lines you see there, it is OpenStreetMap, it's just colored differently, but also where Pokemons appear is based on OpenStreetMap. So if you have a park in OpenStreetMap, Pokemons will appear there. If you have water in OpenStreetMap, water Pokemons will appear there. If you have a beach, certain specific Pokemons will appear there. The side effect of that is that we also sometimes have like a 14, 15-year-old boy marking their front yard and their backyard as a public park because they want to catch Pokemons from their bedroom. One time we had a very persistent kid, and I really was planning on having a picnic in his front yard, but never gotten around that. Another fun use case, there are websites which render OpenStreetMap in 3D, so you have stuff like this, or like this. So it's also quite nice to see. Another one of my favorites is this one, Kinderkies. It's a website, also based on OpenStreetMap. You also select a region, then you get the street layout, and then you can add all kinds of details like buildings and playground equipment, and then you can get this printed as a big playmat. And when my former boss had their kit, we made one of where they live, and then we added all kinds of details, and then, the kit was very happy with it, or the boss as well. Another OpenStreetMap-based application is UMap. It's a bit the equivalent of Google My Maps. Many people want to make a small collaborative maps for their friends or for a small hacker camp in Belgium for planning. In that case, you can use UMap or one of the many hosted instances of UMap. So this is an example where someone made a cycling road and stuff like that. And then again, many municipalities have some data online. For example, in Brussels, we have like 90 municipalities, and all of them had placed some bicycle pumps online. And then all of them had like their own little website with 5 or 6 bicycle pumps. And one project we did was group them all together in MapComplete so that all the municipalities could both use this map, but also maintain the data directly into MapComplete. And it is getting used by some of the municipalities, which is also quite nice. Another use case of OpenStreetMap, it's Facebook. All the maps on Facebook, Instagram use OpenStreetMap, and if you press the information button, you see the copyright OpenStreetMap, which is, as I told you earlier, obligated. Another use case, many news websites use OpenStreetMap. This one caused a bit of controversy. This was an image. So the map on the right was broadcasted on television in 2019 already. And it caused some controversy because there is something weird or something special about the map on the right. Does someone see what is happening on the map on the right? That's not on the map on the left. Yes. So, if you look on the map of the left, there is a gray area on top in the north, whereas on the map on the right, that area is part of Israel. So these are the Golan Heights. And the Golan Heights are de facto occupied by Israel. But it's not internationally recognized as being part of Israel, so generally we use the map on the left. But as I told you earlier, we map what's on the ground. We map what's verifiable. And it is quite verifiable that Israel has occupied that territory. So we drew Israel as having the Golan Heights. Now, borders are tricky, are sometimes not very clear, are conflicted. So we take a very pragmatic approach and we just put all the possible borders in there. So every border, especially in Israel, that once has been decided is in there. And it's up to the consumer of the data to select the border that's correct according to them. But they had a slip up. The National News of Belgium, they use an intermediate organization, an intermediate company, which makes the maps for them. They just use the de facto maps that OpenStreetMaps uses. The redaction didn't quite catch the little map mistake, and this way it got broadcast on national television. It's a bit sad, because a year ago they put a similar map on their website, again with the Golan Heights. And then I send an email to the spokesperson like, hey guys, you made the same mistake a few years ago, here's your own article. make sure you get some appropriate solution, and then they fix it. But yeah, maps are hard. Politics, no, this is quite political as well. Another use case of OpenStreetMap is scientific research. This was interesting research from, again, quite a long time ago. But this researcher compared how people move within a city, which modes of transport they use, and how the public space is allocated. So let me take one example. So for example, in Copenhagen, people move like this. So you can see it's quite close to the bicycle. People in Copenhagen tend to take the bicycle a lot. It's also quite close to the train. So that represents public transport. So in Copenhagen, people take public transport quite a lot. And it's far away from the car. It could be further away from the car. So people take the car sometimes, but not a lot. If you, however, look to how people, how the public space is allocated into according to OpenStreetMap, you see that quite a bit of the infrastructure is still for cars. So that gives a certain discrepancy. The other extreme is like Los Angeles in the US, and then you see that, yeah, people don't cycle there. On my triangle, it couldn't be farther away from the bicycle. People do take a little bit of public transportation, but mostly the car. But if you have a look to how the public space is allocated in Los Angeles, nearly all public roads or all public space is for car infrastructure. So these are a few of the use cases. Another use case is overpass Turbo. I'm going to explain this a bit further because you're all hackers and you probably want to use some geodata. And for that, we use Overpass. Overpass is a query engine. You throw a query to it and it gives you the data back. I'm going to try to do this live. So I'm going to go to Overpass. I'm going to go to the nearest city here, which is Alkmaar, and then we can ask OpenStreetMap something. Does someone have a proposal? What does someone want to see? Supermarkets, yeah. So, first I'm going to stop at wiki.openstreetmap.org, and I'm going to ask how a supermarket is mapped. So a supermarket, large shop for groceries and goods. Sounds like we want that. And then it says on top, the attribute to indicate a supermarket is shop equals supermarket. So if I put in the wizard shop equals supermarket, if I click build and run query, and I give it some time to run, then you will see all the supermarkets in Alkmaar and nearby. So if you need some geodata, you can get it easily here. Even better, there is an export button where you can get it as GeoJSON or GPX or raw data, and you can load it in QGIS or Osmond or Organic Maps or whatever you are using. Now, another thing, what is OpenStreetMap not? The first thing I'd like to ask you, oh yeah, that's not going to work for this crowd, but let's give it a shot anyway. When did you last use a map? And let's not consider the map of the event, but before the event, like what map did you use to get to the event? Someone, yeah, over there? Mm-hmm. So you used a Dutch bicycle path routing app. What's the name of the app? Okay. Someone else? In the back? Someone used Google Maps. Thank you. So when I do this talk for like a different public, most of the people are like, oh yeah, we all use Google Maps. With this type of crowd, it's quite often a more diverse mix and a more OpenStreetMap-based mix. But for the person in the back, how much did you pay to use Google Maps? Yeah, that's the second problem with this quote. The setup for this question is, oh no, I didn't pay anything, but this quote already knows, oh, I paid with my privacy. But anyway, I have a second question for the crowd. Does someone know how much Alphabet Inc., the mother company of Google, invests in Google Maps annually? Millions of dollars. All right, I have millions of dollars. Who's offering more? This is an auction.
Billions of dollars.
Someone offering more? 100 million, but I already had the billions in the front. Going once, going twice, sold. You can pay me the billions of dollars afterwards. No, I have to admit, it's very hard to get precise numbers. I did some research, and people were talking about $1 billion per year. This is also, I made this slideshow already in 2020, so it's probably higher now because of inflation. But we have some numbers. So first of all, we know that Waze was bought by Google for $1.1 billion. The Google Street View is estimated to cost between $200 and $1,200 per kilometer of road. And similar applications or similar platforms have similar numbers. So we know that Apple Maps burns around $1 billion a year. I only found sources from 13 years ago, so probably more because of inflation. And Nokia bought Navteq for like $8 billion, again, a long time ago. But yeah, then again, yeah, you didn't really pay anything, and we all know how Google Maps makes their money. It is by advertisements. So on Google Maps, if you go to the map, some pins are more prominent than others. Those pins paid Google Maps to be very visible. So a drawback of this approach for Google Maps is that it works badly in poorer areas, so which is why OpenStreetMap is used a lot in developing areas. We also know that Google Maps and the Google Play services do a lot of geo-tracking. There are stories known about people, they arrive in the hospital, and as soon as they get in the hospital, they start to get advertisements for like last-minute healthcare insurance, very American. But yeah, that's all things, that's a very important source for the advertisement industries. Also because many shops, they want to advertise locally. I still have to admit that Google Maps has more information on shops and stuff like that, but we are catching up. So I have a comparison here. OpenStreetMap started in 2005. 2 years later, yeah, it was something. It was considered a joke back in the days. But then 10 years later, we had quite a complete map with roads and land use, so it is improving quite quickly. So, to summary, OpenStreetMap is truly free. It's free as in beer, some terms and conditions apply, and it's free as in freedom. But we would love if you would contribute back by using, by spreading love, by contributing, by doing a donation to the OSMF or to your favorite OpenStreetMap application, so help out, we're a community. It's a big community. There are a lot of people involved in OpenStreetMap. Some of them work in companies using OpenStreetMap data to make a living. Others are volunteers. Some bigger corporations are part of it. So it's a diverse and wide community, which is really nice. Talking about the community, I'd also like to highlight a few services which are in the wider community. These are not core to OpenStreetMap, but they are sometimes used. One of them is Mapillary. It's an alternative Street View application. Images are available under a Creative Commons license. However, I have to admit the server is closed source and it has been bought by Facebook and Meta. So some people have some mixed feelings about this one.
I mention it because it is widely used. Many applications can show Mapillary in there. But if you don't like the meta part of it, there's also a new initiative. It's called Panoramax. It's also a Street View alternative. It's also crowdsourced, but this one is fully FLOSS, and you can self-host it. It's a federated system, so there's like one instance which knows all of the other instances, so that you can get all the pictures of all the instances. It's quite mature by now, even though they started 2 or 3 years ago, and if you find the bug, the developers are quite responsive. MapComplete uses it to host the images. And then a third one that I would like to highlight, but I forgot to make a slide, is mangrove.reviews. That one is an open source and Creative Commons review aggregator. So you can put reviews in there via the website or via MapComplete, and some more applications will be coming soon. So if you want an alternative for reviews, you can use this one. So yeah, that's a very high level overview of everything that's available. If I want to sum it up, it's OpenStreetMap is like working together on like the most accurate and the most detailed, up-to-date global map that anyone can use, and I'm all crazy about it, like on my t-shirt. So thank you very much. I have some more links for you if you want more information. The slides are also online on my personal blog, so feel free to grab the slides there, or feel free to follow me on the Fediverse. And if you have questions, please shoot or come find me afterwards. And I also have some stickers with me, but not official ones. I forgot them.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you for your very good explanation of OpenStreetMap. And as you said, you are eagerly looking for more people to help you with OpenStreetMap, not just you, but the community, of course, to help on OpenStreetMap. So if you are interested, contact Peter. And if you have time and working on OpenStreetMap, please share the community. So any questions for Peter? We have time for that. Over there, please show up at the microphone, and we'll wait for you.
Yeah, love OpenStreetMap. I think I read somewhere that OpenStreetMap is getting vector tiles now. Is that true, and what does that mean?
Yes. So I'm going to open up the OpenStreetMap website. The question is about the vector tiles. So I'm going to dive into some of the details. So in the past, when we had an online map, it's very hard to show an online map. If you were to give all the map data to my laptop here, you'd have to transfer about 120 gigabytes. That's not feasible. So what did people invent to show maps online? They made tiles. So if I'm going to drag here, you see that it loads little pieces of the map. And if I open up such a piece, you see a little thing. And this is a PNG. So it's the old technology, and the drawback of that is that, you can't really change the PNG. So, for example, here you have a municipality boundary between Oud-Kapsel and Kudijk. These are just pixels which are transferred like that. If I want to have a different color scheme, I'm out of luck. I just get the PNGs with the green and the blue that OpenStreetMap chose for me. Now, nowadays we have vector tiles, and since 2 weeks we have this one. And now you see that instead of a PNG, I do get a PBF. And you can think of a PBF as being an SVG. And that SVG contains like, there is a line here, and it is this type of object. And it is the client which decides how to show that object. Like the client can decide to use yellow for a road or red or a different color. And even cooler is the labels. And I can demonstrate that on MapComplete, which uses vector tiles as well. The labels are pieces of string. So let me open up something here. Yeah, the libraries. 1 minute, please. So it happens to be in French because I tested something in French earlier. So if I zoom out, we have like Belgique, Luxembourg, Allemagne. These are French labels. Now, because these are vector tiles, all the language information is there. So if I switch the language, the map can update the labels, and now it shows the labels in English, which is pretty neat. So that's the big difference. Vector tiles exist for 5 years, 10 years, I don't know exactly. But the new thing is that there are no official vector tiles from OpenStreetMap, and those are on the homepage, and that's quite big.
A very big improvement, I believe, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much. Next.
I use OpenStreetMap for hiking, and for hiking it's much better than Google Maps in most of places, but in cities I tried to use OpenStreetMaps, but I stopped using it because for every shop, every place which I search for to visit, I always check reviews and photos, because around half of places, is it Google Maps or OpenStreetMaps, it doesn't matter. Half of places are closed, or it's just the formal address where business is registered, but it's located in other place. And only reviews and photos help me to understand that I will not spend half of hour for nothing. So how reviews and photos work for OpenStreetMaps?
Yeah, well, so that's where MapComplete comes in. And that's exactly what I'm trying to solve with MapComplete. So first of all, OpenStreetMap, the core project itself, does not do reviews and does not do pictures. But it does do the information about the shop, like opening hour, contact details, what type of shop it is. And then with MapComplete, I tied quite some services together. So I tied the shop information. I have a picture module which uses Panoramax in the back, and I have the reviews which come from mangrove.reviews. So the tools are out there, and they are getting bundled to become a usable alternative. And yet the only advice that I can give is to, when you visit a shop that's important to you, add it with MapComplete or with a different tool, and then you can help the other community. But it's true that the data is not as good as on Google Maps, but we're working on it. Also, shops, especially the small ones and like the fast food jobs, many of them change name or change owners every 3 years, so we need a lot of hands to keep it up to date.
Thank you. Yeah, there was some time for question more.
Continuing this last point, what about quality control? If I find something that is wrong, or in Wikipedia I can log in and change that, how is that working here? And in Wikipedia has a big rule book, what should I do, what should I not do? How does that work here?
Yeah, so we don't have any quality control. You just make an account, you click edit, and whatever you commit to the database is live immediately. But in practice, well, many new contributors, they make small mistakes when they contribute for the first time, that's fine. And then we correct it, we contact them, we explain what they did wrong and how they should do it. There are also some people who vandalize the map, but these are quickly caught and that's reverted quickly. Especially high visibility vandalism is reverted within the hour because it's highly visible. There are a few companies which use OpenStreetMap, and then they go through all the edits, often with a review process, and then they republish it as a validated version. For example, Facebook does that. They have a copy of OpenStreetMap that they reviewed and fix some vandalism in there. And we also have quite a lot of tools to review changes. One of them that I frequently use is OSMCHA. And OSMCHA, you can see through all the change sets that people made, all the changes, and you can see what they did and review it. So that's one of the tools. Another important thing to know, I didn't highlight it here, but every change is recorded. So we know from every change who made it, when they made it. They leave a small change set comment, a commit message basically, on why they did it. And that way we can look throughout the data and we can correct mistakes, we can contact the original contributor. So in practice, it works.
Thank you, Peter. One last question.
Yeah. One of the more fragile infrastructures these days is EV charging infrastructure. I'm struggling with this a lot because all the apps are just bad. I took a close look at MapComplete. There is an EV layer somehow, but also looks totally incomplete and doesn't really provide any valuable information I would look for. So is there any initiative you know about, and can you also explain how is the standardizing process on these tags working in practice? Because, you know, some technical details just need to be available to have a good planning infrastructure for EVs.
Yes. Let me start with the tagging. How do we decide on what attribute means what? Well, like they say, put 12 hackers in a room and you get 13 opinions. It's a bit messy. So people come together, they write a proposal like, oh, we'd like to do it like that. And then the proposal gets approved or rejected by a voting process. That's one way it's done. A different way is by just inventing a tag and applying it and then see if it catches on. So it's very... There are like two ways of doing it, and then often we meet in the middle or it grows over time. The attributes. And then on the charging stations, I don't drive an EV, but the layer was made for other people, but basically all the data is in there is because someone added it into OpenStreetMap. There are some data sets out there. We could copy and paste them into OpenStreetMap, but that's complicated because if you have a source data set and want to put it into OpenStreetMap, you should check, like, is the license all right to put it into OpenStreetMap? Is the data still up to date? If we just paste it, could it be that there is a nearby charging station on like 2 meters? Is it the same charging station or is it a different one? So it involves a lot of work and a lot of cooperation to integrate all the data into OpenStreetMap. So it's a hard topic, and if you want to help out to make it happen, that would be great. And then hop onto the forum and discuss how it could be done.
Yeah, but it somehow shows also the struggle here. You know, how do you set up a proper process? If I would start an app that does EV navigation and wants to rely on the data, then I'm probably in a constant fight with the community over standards and how to update data. And also, a question on how to monetize on that.
Yeah, that's indeed a struggle. So I kind of expect charging stations to be already standardized. So you should be able to just reuse what's already out there. So here's all the description with all the possible attributes. Most of it should be covered already. So that's quite all right. Monetization is no problem. If you put an app based on OpenStreetMap data, you're perfectly allowed to ask some money for that. But you just can't keep the charging data for you if you mix it with OpenStreetMap data. It's just that getting all the data into OpenStreetMap, that takes effort.
So does this page also contain links to maps that do that?
Might be. And at the bottom.
Here we go. Okay.
Yeah. So you've got quite a few of them.
Very nice, Peter. Very nice. I like it very much. Thank you for your questions also, and you gave a lot of hints and tips. Everything is recorded, so it's a lot of information, but you always can have a look back on the video and find all those details and links. Thank you very much for your explanation, Peter. I liked it very much, and a big applause for Peter for sharing all this information with us. Thank you.